The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
The second hour is live. We welcome you back. First hour, we talked to Ross Dellinger. He covered the Coach Prime's game yesterday in Jackson. Let's move on and talk about some other things. We've talked about basketball over the weekend, some really big games. Alabama inching closer to the NCAA tournament and the SEC crown. How about Tennessee going down to Kentucky? And that is where Sam is right now in Tennessee. Hey, Sam.
Hey, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
I wanted to say that I really appreciate what you do, and we enjoy your show immensely.
Thank you very much.
I'm basically in your neck of the woods from Dyersburg, Tennessee.
So sure.
For you were born and raised in Memphis. But I was born and raised in Kentucky, so my blood bleeds blue. I've got two questions quickly. Do you think that the basketball team has a chance to really catch on fire and win this SEC tournament? I don't know of a team they can't beat because they've led most of the teams that they've gotten beat by. And I wanted your thought on that. Plus, I'm really excited about the football team. I think Mark Stoops has really put together a fantastic staff now, and he's got a lot of talent and has recruited well. And so what do you think? I think they may finish second in their division. I just wanted your comments on that, please.
Yeah, on Kentucky basketball, I think while everybody keeps including them with the Blue Bloods being in trouble, they're making a nice little run there. And Saturday in Knoxville was significant. I think it gives this team a lot of confidence. And I would agree. I think they are, if they can continue this and then make even a deep run, they may change some minds about whether they belong or not. As far as Mark Stoops, I totally agree. He gets more done with less than any coach, I think, in college football. He is recruiting now at a higher level, and he has built he has a blueprint for a very successful program that will last. This is not a quick turnaround. It took a long time, and he had great support from the administration, Mitch Barnhart, and obviously President Capilouta. And that's why this program, I think, is even though it dipped this year, I think there's some specific reasons why and legitimate reasons why. I don't think it's going to be dipping anymore.
Well, I think our coach being sick.
Exactly.
I don't know how much.
I think it had it. Sam, I think it was a lot to overcome there. I didn't realize it at the time, but in hearing from people afterwards, I think that really cast a very negative, not a negative, but a desperate pall over the season because of what he meant to the team.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking my call and thank you so much for what you do for SEC.
Thank you, Sam. I appreciate that. All of us do here. Jeremy is in Georgia, and you are on the air. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul. This is, as you said, Jeremy, from Locust Grove, Georgia. It's south of Atlanta in Henry County. I don't even know if you heard of this. It's just a little country town, but I'm a Dogs fan, and I got two questions for you, and one of them might irritate you because it's a Deion Sanders question. But my first one is about Georgia, and do you think they can keep JT, Gunner, and Brock from, you know, at least one of them entering in the transfer portal? Probably Gunner or Brock I'm worried about mainly is what I'm asking. I'm just wondering.
Yeah, I think I will tell you, JT obviously is not going anywhere. Jeremy, I hate to use the past as prologue to the future, but how young people are, and nobody knows it better than Kirby Smart. I think it's going to be a real challenge. He's got to figure out how to keep both of them patient while JT runs the show.
You can't help but think of Justin Fields and, you know, the past, like you said just then, you know. And that's what I'm worried about with these new coming quarterbacks. How is he going to hold on to them with this transfer portal in place, you know?
Well, I think some of that depends on, you know, how they develop. Let's go back to the day that Jamie Newman walked out. All the names you heard that day didn't necessarily turn out to be the names that made it. So I think you have to be careful, which means the development is the key. Which one of those young guys develops more quickly, and the guy who doesn't, assuming he doesn't, you know, is he willing to come back for next spring and give it a go?
Speaking of Jamie Newman, why you mention it, do you know, is it going good for him right now? I mean, have you heard anything about
no.
him?
No. You know, absolutely not.
I knew Georgia would develop him if he'd be patient. That's what my opinion was. But, I mean, I thought he pulled the trigger.
Yeah, you know, I had Field Yates on here Friday, and I never even thought to ask him. I will find out when I talk to Kuiper maybe in a couple of days. But I am still convinced, and I know many people in Georgia are as well, that had he stayed, I think Georgia could have survived the first half of the season until JT got healthy. But when he walked out, it really created a disaster for that program.
Because, like, I mean, Kirby preaches all the time, college is about developing, and the longer you stay, the better you get. And then once you get to the NFL, they expect you to, already be there, you know.
And he gained, Jeremy, from where I sit, he gained absolutely nothing by doing what he did. It was a waste of time. Thank you for the call. Dan is up next in Georgia. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how you doing?
Dan, we're doing great. Thank you.
Good, good. What it is I wanted your opinion and Paul's opinion. It's something that occurred 41 years ago. Okay. I'm a diehard Alabama fan, and I'm a never, ever, ever Georgia fan. The reason being, 41 years ago, the 1980 Sugar Bowl, Alabama defeated Arkansas 24-9, I believe it was. Well, at halftime, they were just leading 10-3. Somebody, I believe it was Feinbaum or somebody from a newspaper, might have been the Birmingham News, they interviewed, of all people, Vince Dooley. Now, Vince Dooley had a lousy season, 6-5, and this is the reason why I don't like Georgia anymore. They asked him, what do you think of the Alabama team? And Vince Dooley said, well, Alabama did not deserve to win the SEC title. And if they win this game tonight, I don't believe they deserve to win the national championship. That's when I used to be lukewarm with Georgia, but no, never, never, ever again.
Well, you know, by the way, no, I was just getting started around then, so it was not me who did the interview. I don't remember that. I don't know why he would have said that, because that Alabama team in what year was that, 79, lost only one game. And I believe it was – I'm trying to remember who it was against.
I know they lost to Virginia. They lost to Auburn at the end of the season because William Andrews.
No. I'm talking about Alabama didn't lose to Auburn that year. I can assure you.
No, Alabama was undefeated.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Then I don't know why
they went undefeated.
I don't know why Vince would have made that statement.
I don't know either.
Do you realize how many?
I read it in the Gazette Times because my folks were from Gazette.
Do you realize how many coaches Georgia's had since then, and you're still upset?
Well, I just, how dare they say that when the Bear got his 6-1? I was so proud of that.
Well, that was his last national championship. You are correct about that. He went for a three-peat the next year, and it all came at that point. I was covering Alabama. That was my first year covering Alabama, and it all came apart in Jackson, Mississippi. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And there is always something going on at the University of Florida. And who better to talk to than Alan Taylor, covers the Gators for The Athletic. Alan, thank you very, very much for dropping by today. I want to get to some of the comments that Dan Mullen made the other day, and I know he's speaking again shortly. But we have gotten an unusual number of calls here about Mike White, the basketball coach. And I realize I don't cover that team on a daily basis, but can you, and I know you've written about this, what is your view of how he has handled this program and what's it look like moving forward?
Yeah, you know, are you scoring them on the fact that they've been to the NCAA two or three times and Nearly got to a Final Four. Are you looking at it this year where, you know, the scheduling has been off because of COVID, and also you lose the SEC Player of the Year in December? You know, does that totally write this year off and give him a pass, or do you still hold him to that Billy Donovan standard? You know, I think he's probably a year away from being on a truly hot seat. I think they're going to get an NCAA this year, probably be, you know, one of the last, you know, 5 or 10 seeds in as an at-large team, likely. But certainly you lose Keontae Johnson to that sort of uncontrollable situation back in December, and that would handcuff a lot of teams. But once they're at full strength again, you're going to have to think of Florida as a team that's perpetually in the Sweet 16 and perpetually, you know, pushing for SEC championships, not being in the middle of the pack.
Understand. Alan Taylor with us. Let's get to the football issue. And I there's just no getting around what an utterly bizarre year it was. It was great on many levels. It was a nightmare on others. Now that the dust has settled, what's it look like as we turn the corner toward 21?
You know, you can't play the what-if game, but, man, they're a fumble away on a flukish play at Texas A&M and a shoe throw against LSU from going into that SEC championship game at 10-0 and just playing for seeding. And as it turned out, of course, they were 8-2, and then they played Alabama probably as tight as anybody did last year, and then the Cotton Bowl was just a total washout on their part. So they come in with a three-game losing streak, and now everyone's talking about Georgia being the team to beat in the SEC East next year, which is completely accurate. I mean, it really is. But the question is, you know, how far does Florida backslide, right? Are they going to be another 9 or 10 win season like, you know, Mullen had in his first 2 years here? Or is it truly going to be a big rebuild where you might only win 7 or 8? And that's a big question because, you know, new quarterback, new targets. The defense is back almost in its entirety, but that's not necessarily a good thing considering how poorly they played last year. So, you know, I think this is almost one of those years where you really got to build for the future, but still win enough games to keep the fans happy. And that means being competitive. But when you got Bama, LSU, and Georgia on the schedule, you know, right now that looks like three losses.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Alan, it just seems like a lost opportunity, and I know I'm probably not the first one to bring that up, but from a distance, you know, it had taken Dan Mullen a couple of years to finally get past Georgia, and they really don't even get to celebrate it because the perception has already changed. And on top of all that, it didn't seem like recruiting was spectacular. I mean, it was good. Ranking was fine, but you need more than that, don't you?
Yeah, especially when you start stacking classes, you know, 5, 6 years in a row of Bama and Georgia and even LSU being top 5 or top 6. And lately, Florida's been topping out at 9 and then falling down to that 12 to 13 range occasionally. So I think they got another functional class that gets, you know, addresses needs and gets bodies in there who can play. But did they get the guys who were going to beat Georgia and Alabama on a consistent basis? And at least at the high school level, no. which is where Dan sort of goes back to his Mississippi State persona of being a developmental program and trying to take those low fours and high threes and, you know, essentially turn them into fives. And you can do that sometimes, but you don't want to do it with half your class each year. So they've got some, they've got to take some bigger swings, and they've got to land some guys who, you know, really have Georgia and Alabama and LSU and the Clemson and Ohio States amongst their finalists. And that's the next step for this program, because without it, they won't perpetually, you know, be winning the East like they were under Urban Meyer.
Alan, I don't want to sound like the guy at the end of the bar, but why hasn't he been able to do that? I mean, this is Dan Mullen. This is the University of Florida, which has recruited exceptionally well in the past. Why can't it do it right now?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, you know, my first go around the SEC, it was them and pretty much everybody else. I mean, they've got good facilities, and the facilities are about to get really good a summer out. You know, they're building a football-only facility that's going to be as swanky as anything and very functional. That'll help, but you're probably looking at that being a class away from having any sort of, you know, true impact, because right now you're selling kids on pictures and renderings. But that's coming. I think, really, Mullen had to sort of get over that muscle memory of what he had done for that decade at Mississippi State of finding a guy who wasn't top tier, developing him, and seeing him even go to the NFL. And, again, that's the situation you inherit at Mississippi State. It's not the mindset you bring to Florida. And I think he's realized that. And you got to find a staff that can do it. You got to have collaboration from guys who agree that, you know, it's worth being a bridesmaid sometime for a five-star. But you got to get in the race. And I think that that's part of it. I see them making strides. I think they're organizationally sound. They're not missing on kids that they just ignored for no reason. I just think they sort of have to believe in themselves and go chase those again. And, you know, one thing they're selling right now is it's the number six public university academically in the country. And so they're trying to tie that in. You remember Saban had a lot of success at LSU by building that academic center. And then he did the same thing in Alabama. And I think Florida wants to replicate that side of it, which, you know, the academics get sort of poo-pooed next to 40 times and those other metrics. But it's something they can sell.
And Alan, and let's get to the Dan Mullen and his job, longevity. And nobody, he's done a really good job overall, but he certainly had a rough go of it with the Adam Schefter report that he was looking around the NFL. I'm not sure he put all that to bed last week. You were there. You were watching. Address that part of the equation.
Yeah, you know, we come back from the Cotton Bowl, and it's – is he a candidate for the Jets job? Are the Lions interested? And he likes to draw up plays. He likes to diagram offenses. And as you know, as a college head coach, that's not 100% of the job. I don't think he's poor at the other parts of it, but it's enticing to make that kind of money and fixate on what you really like to do in the NFL. The part you're talking about regarding not putting those rumors to bed is simply the name and image likeness and what that means from a standpoint of, I believe, potential tampering, becoming a used car salesman, so to speak, about how much money or how much marketing and branding you can get players aside from the football thing. And for all the quirkiness that Dan brings, he's a traditionalist. He believes team first. He believes in bowl games mattering, even if you're 8-3, you know, whether you're in the playoff or not. So he's going to have to, and a lot of head coaches are going to have to decide whether the headaches of not only recruiting, but then re-recruiting players, you know, potentially every season out of the portal and out of, you know, a situation that, you know, they can go and sort of market themselves elsewhere. That's going to be tough. That's going to be a different thing. And some coaches will handle it and they'll adjust. Others, I think it's going to chase them straight to the NFL and you know, try to apply their skills there.
Finally, on that subject, has it been put to bed or does it still linger out there in the Florida air?
Well, he has not signed an extension. You know, his original six-year deal has now reached the halfway point. Coaches like to have that four-year window for recruiting purposes and just security. So they haven't struck up their extension yet. I think it will be done before the season, whether it's simply a rollover where he maybe he gets a cost of living raise, or whether it's something that's a little more substantial. You know, I think obviously if he wins the SEC championship or gets Florida in the playoffs last year, we're talking about a noticeable raise from $6.1 million. As it wound up, you know, maybe it stays around $6.1, $6.2, but he gets some more years on the back end.
Alan, I don't know how you can live on just $6.1 million, do you?
You'd have to invest it very smartly. Yeah, exactly. And there's no income tax out here, you know? So,
absolutely. That cost of I don't know what a cost of living raise is on 6.1, but hey, thank you so much for dropping by. We always appreciate your time.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Great stuff. Alan Taylor from The Athletic on the woes of Dan Mullen. We will take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Many more guests to come. And we are back after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back. Great to have you here. If you want to give us a ring, it's 855-242-7285. Monday afternoon is here, and so is Greg. How are you, Greg?
Hey, I'm doing good. Can you hear me?
I sure can. Thank you.
Yes, sir. I just want to make a comment on Dan about talking about Coach Vince Dooley, which is, again, a good friend of mine, a very classy fellow. How can somebody hold a grudge over 40 years over a comment? I don't understand. I mean, back in the day, yeah, he might have said a quote here and there, but Vince is nothing but class. And I just don't see how somebody can just hold a grudge like that over nothing. And I know Dan's from Georgia. Maybe he ought to just move to Alabama. That way all these Bulldog fans that he runs around every day and sees, you know, might be best for him. But
yeah, I think what it really comes down to is, grudges are usually over some personal affront. And I think most everyone in the audience can figure out, you know, whatever that is. We're all guilty of them, whether we should be or not. But I'm trying to think the longest grudge someone really, I mean, what's the lifespan of a grudge? 41 years over someone you don't even know who I agree with you. If somebody said, you know, name me the five, you know, the most enjoyable people you've ever met, Vince Dooley would probably be on that list. He's that much fun to be around and so interesting.
It is. It sure is. I mean, I've been over to his house many times, sat at his dining room table. We've had talks. I mean, there's just not another finer fellow.
Well, I'll tell you this, Greg. I was over there about 10, before the famous Alabama-Georgia game in 2008. I got in early, and Barber had invited me over, so I brought a friend. And
yes.
And we're talking and blah, blah, blah. And all of a sudden I walk up to Vince and ask him about the garden. And Barber says, "You don't want to do this, Paul." I said, "Yes,
no,
I do, Barber."
No, you do not.
So
that's a long walk.
So
out
for the next hour and a half, Vince and I disappeared into the garden. And I got the same tour that you've gotten and so many others have.
Well, let me ask you this. I'm sure he took you to the Bulldog Room.
Oh, yeah. I've seen it all at the Dooley House.
Yeah, that is a beautiful place. But, I just thought, man, I'm listening to this guy holding the grudge for over 40 years, and you ain't never met the man. All I can say is you need to shut up.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to go biblical, but it's not good. It's not really – if we had a people's court here, we the two of us might even agree, you know, holding a grudge over that might be – over something might be worthwhile, but not over a comment that I'm still not even sure is true.
It's not true. That ain't Coach. He don't do that. He's got more class. And I will say this, too, before I let you go. I know Nick Saban is, what, 28-0 versus his passing sideliners and what coaches and whatnot.
Right.
Kirby Smart will be the first one to beat Alabama. I see that, and I feel it. And, I mean, I don't hate Alabama. Hey, Alabama's a good team. You can't hold nothing against them. Look what they've done. Nick Saban is a heck of a coach. And, you know, that's something as a sports fan should recognize. You know, there's an old saying, to be the man, you got to beat the man. Until you do it, he's the man.
But, no argument there.
I don't know. Yeah, sir.
Well, thank you very much. That was a good call. Jeremy is also in Georgia. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, Paul. I'm calling in for the second time today, just because of Dan. Honestly, actually, Greg covered that for me, and I want to thank him for calling in recently to cover Vince Dooley. But I just wanted to add to that. He did a lot for Alabama. I mean, he represented the SEC, and he won 6 SEC titles and 5 Coach of the Year awards. And I'm sure you know more than I do about Vince Dooley, but that's about all I know, and I just wanted to leave you with that.
Well, I'm glad you did. Well, thank you so much. Russ is in Pennsylvania, and you're on the air. Hey, Russ.
Hey, Paul. Really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I called hoping that some of your old-timers who listen could remember what they called the Lions Bowl back in the early 50s.
The Lions Bowl?
Yeah. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I have not.
I just wondered if it's evolved into like a bigger bowl. But I had a brother and a cousin that played in it. In the early 50s, and I just hoping some of your older listeners might remember it. And
where was the Lions Bowl?
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better with the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit style pizza in the country. There's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Oh, it was in South Carolina. I can't remember the name of the town, no. Mm-hmm. But this was just a little old state teachers' college school that my brother and cousin went to. They were invited down there to play a bowl game because they were like the champions of their state teachers' college league back then. But I was just hoping some of the
Well, I'll tell you what, Russ, I am sure somebody was I was not around at the time, but I feel certain someone was. And you keep listening, and we will find someone to hopefully answer that question. Great to have you on. Don is up next. Hey, Don, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, good to hear you, Paul. I always enjoy the show.
Thank you.
You were talking to the fellow earlier about the Alabama season from back in 79.
Right.
And 78 is the year, you know, the big goal line stand and so forth. And they lost to Southern Cal that year.
That's right.
So that was,
okay. I do remember that.
That was such a tougher schedule for them. I always, as a 24 and 25-year-old during those years, I always valued that game quite a bit more, or that year, more than the other championship. I mean, they were both well-deserved, but you're talking about you came back from a big loss in a game where they really weren't even in the game, and things worked out for them with a big stand in a game at the end of the year. The other season, you were playing Nebraska and Southern Cal, and the regular SEC schedule, and a couple other people that I can't remember. But the second year, you know, you're playing a lot easier team. I mean, Arkansas was a great team that year, or a good team, but it was a lot easier schedule in 79. And I don't recall hearing that about Vince Dooley, but that was interesting. Don't you have a little bit better feeling about the year before?
Yeah, no, I vaguely remember that season, but Alabama in 78 played Southern Cal. I'll look it up in a second, but yeah. I mean, I know they played Nebraska the year before. Did they play Nebraska in 78? They played Nebraska in 78 too, didn't they?
Yeah, well, what they did those years, I'm an aficionado. I went to the Nebraska game in 78. They played Nebraska on the road in 77. And Southern Cal, no, Nebraska at home in 77.
Right.
Southern Cal on the road and won against Southern Cal and lost the game. I'm trying to remember.
No, they had Nebraska was at home in 70. They lost at Nebraska in 77 on the final play of the game, didn't they?
Yeah, that may have been the deal. They threw interceptions against Nebraska the year that they lost to them. It was a pretty rough game. They beat Nebraska. Yeah, they played them both.
Okay, hold on a second. I just looked it up because I think about this, Don, and I, that's a controversial championship even though it shouldn't be, but Alabama opened the season against Nebraska. I mean, and this is in Nebraska's prime. This isn't the Nebraska of today. The next game was at Missouri, so which mm-hmm. was a they were a top 10 team. The next game was Southern Cal, Nebraska, Missouri, and
yeah,
Southern Cal.
That's a deal, yeah.
And man, they played Vanderbilt. And think about this: the following week, they go to Seattle to play Washington. I mean, this was a ridiculous schedule that that Coach Brian had, and then. And then the SEC, and on top of that, Virginia Tech was on there somewhere. I never realized what a tough schedule that was.
They had a lot of room to go. But, I was looking at that, and they played four, you know, state-name teams in a row. Well, Southern Cal is a private school, I know, but it's the equivalent of the state team. Could I tell you one thing real quick? You've had a lot of people coming on about, you know, their parents serving, dad serving in the
right.
military. I have a little bit of an unusual situation. My biological father, I never knew him. He passed away when I was on the way, and he played. He went to Alabama before the war, and then finished at the end of the war in electrical engineering. Real smart guy, fine guy. From what everyone that I know knew him and. You know, family members speaking of him. Well, he passed away of a cerebral hemorrhage, but he was a master sergeant in both theaters during the war. And I always had felt like there were some souvenirs that my grandmother had a rifle and some things from both sections of the war, mostly things from the Europe that I recall, but a few things from the Pacific Theater. Well, my mom remarried when I was 3 years old, and daddy for me was my stepdad, was never in actual action, but he was training in Oklahoma in Piper Cub airplanes to be in that big thrust that would have been going, I'm gathering this is the case, I never talked to him a lot about that. But to go to bomb Japan, fighter pilot.
Sure, sure.
And obviously, you know, things didn't end up happening that way. You know, fortunately for us, in a way, I have no idea if he'd have been shot down or whatever. You know, but he was Pop, Daddy, and he worked for Internal Revenue for many years and passed away about 8 years ago now. But, we always were grateful that he came into our lives because I don't know how things would be. I know you said you lost your dad at, teenage years, and I've known people that lost parents and their mother never did remarry. But that's just my experience, and, I have a lot of respect for all those who fought in the war, and I wish I knew more about my dad's exploits over there. He went to England, which was where we were. My grandparents were basically English people. They their parents were from there, so they came here for the mining. So anyway, I always enjoy your show and just wanted to throw that out there.
Hey, thank you very much, Don. Appreciate the call. Always good to catch up. We'll take a break. More to come and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Beyond the Whiteboard, SEC Coaches Conversation. That will be at 8:30 tonight on the SEC Network. And we welcome you back to our show. Jim is in West Virginia, and you are on the air. Hey, Jim.
Yes, sir. How you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you.
Good. I appreciate your show. I just wanted to call, listen to what that fellow from Pennsylvania called in about the Lions Bowl.
Yes.
And that was it was only played 1 year in 1952. It used to be called the Pythian Bowl, and it only lasted 3 years under that. It was named after the Knights of Pythias. And then in 1952, the Lions Club International was named after, and that was the last year apparently it was played. So it's not considered an NCAA-sanctioned bowl, but it is listed in the NCAA records.
Well, I'm glad we could get that cleared up. Thank you very, very much. Appreciate it. Bud is up next in Tennessee. Hey, Bud.
I had a little more to give you on the pitch, Bo. That guy's brother played for California, Pennsylvania, and his team got beat by Lenore Ryan 13-7 in 1951.
Okay.
That was the last year before it became the Lions Bowl. And I wanted one other thing. The money went for an orphanage, so it went for a good cause. All 4 years that money went for an orphanage. In Salisbury, North Carolina, it was played at Catawba University.
Right. Been to Salisbury. It's a nice place. Hey, thank you. Appreciate the call, and good to have you on. How about Amos? Amos, you're in Tennessee, and you're on the air. Hey there. Go right ahead.
Mr. Feinbaum, thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Whenever Alabama won the national championship, I know a lot of other sports consumers heard a lot of grumbling about, oh, well, here goes another one, here's another one. And, you know, the Clemson was in it, Ohio State was in it, it's the same team. But, you know, Mr. Feinbaum, when I hear that nationally syndicated sports networks, and this, I'm not saying yours, I'm talking about another one, I won't say it on air, but when I hear grumblings about talent disparity and how the rich get richer and the talent just seems to go to the same school, you know, I never hear the same type of grumblings when these super teams form in the NBA or, you know, notable free agents start signing on to NFL teams and start building super teams. Other guys start talking to each other, hey, come here. And Mr. Feinbaum, I didn't know if you heard the same things or if you've noticed the lack of consistency when people talk about talent disparity. And I really get tired of hearing especially when it comes to Alabama and Clemson and these notable programs, because they're not doing anything wrong. They're not doing anything illegal. So I don't think it's fair to bash them and then grant a pass to, say, like the Brooklyn Nets, who everybody on the national media scene is just salivating over. Do you notice this, too?
I have, yeah. And you know, I have not been on a program yet this year or starting last year where somebody asked me, do you think it's bad that Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State are in the playoffs every year? No, I don't. They earn their way in. The game has some issues. I mean, college football, but it's not Alabama's fault.
Right, exactly. And I get, you know, and I went back and forth with a gentleman who hosts a weekend night talk show host about how he thought that there should be talent redistribution to other programs.
Amos, I hate to run because we're up against the clock, but we had somebody brought that up here about a month ago, and I thought it was, you know, one of the dumbest comments I've ever heard. Thank you for the call. 2 hours to go. We hope you will all stick around.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.